you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into the Next Bats podcast. I'm Phil Perry. Very exciting time of year. The new league year is almost upon us. By the time you're listening to this, the tampering period in the NFL, the legal tampering period in the NFL, one of the most ridiculous terms in professional football, will be upon us. So what are the Patriots doing? What's next for them in free agency? Who will they be interested in? These are all things we're going to be tracking for you moving forward. And we will get to some names here again as the legal tampering period, opens up. But we first want to get right to some interviews because we got some great ones this week for you. We've got Calvin Johnson, Hall of Fame receiver, Calvin Johnson, who's with us. He's opening a dispensary in Boston. He's been here in town. So we had a chance to meet with him, chat with him one-on-one about his dispensary, about cannabis and its use in terms of player recovery and all the things that are available to players now that weren't even available to players when Calvin Johnson started his career. So that's sort of the next, quote unquote, the next wave, maybe potentially, of recovery for professional athletes. We had a good conversation as far as that stuff goes, as far as his new business goes, but we're also talking about the Patriots and what they need to do at receiver, what he thinks they need to do in terms of making a big splash offensively. Do they go after the veteran like a DeAndre Hopkins or maybe even a Brandon Cooks who could be available just to add some talent to that receiver room? Or does he think they need to do something else? I think you'll really appreciate his answer on that one, especially given his perspective. Then we're also talking a little bit just about the Patriots in general. And if he were a free agent right now, legal tampering period about to be opened up, and he was in his prime, would he be excited about the opportunity to come to New England? That might be an answer you don't like so much. Either way, it's a great conversation. Great guy, Calvin Johnson. We're happy to have him on Next Bats. Let's get to that chat with him right now. All right, very excited to have with us now on the show, Hall of Famer Calvin Johnson. Calvin Johnson, also of Primitive and Primitive Performance, Primitive Boston, which will be opening on High Street in the very near future here. Thanks for being with us, man.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Talk to us a little bit about Primitive and your goal with this project. I know this is something that this has become your life's work now, and especially given, obviously, your previous career as a football player, I think it has a lot of relevancy for players and recovery and the modern-day athlete and things that they might be turning to, especially pro football players, in order to be them best, their best selves. So talk to us a little bit about Primitive, how you got into it, and why.
Yeah, for sure. We started our journey into the cannabis industry probably like a handful of years ago. We call ourselves Primitive because plant medicines, and in particular cannabis, have been used by humans for millennia. So by definition and by nature, cannabis is primitive, you know, and just really our journey here and our goal is, our mission is just to impact the global cannabis community just by highlighting the healing powers of the plant and just really educating people on the wellness that comes from the well of cannabis.
And Primitive Boston, this is exciting. You're going to be one of us now.
Bostonian. We'll is that the right
all
word?
All the time. Why was Boston the right spot for you with this project?
With everything, everything's authentic and natural. And fortunately for us, you know, here in Boston, our business partner, Gosser Chairless, you know, he resides. And it's been great because, like I say, we've played together, blood, sweat, and tears. So we know each other. We're accountable to each other. And so we understand how that relationship was going to play out so that we can definitely, at that point, you know, spread our wings and go into a new endeavor as far as business. And it just happened to be that we are passionate about cannabis. And like I say, the healing powers of this plant. And so to be able to go into business with a former teammate to rebuild that camaraderie that we had on the field is awesome.
And Gosner's a Boston College guy, so plenty of local connections there. How many players, whether current or former, do you talk to about using cannabis so that, again, they can just feel better? Obviously, you guys put your bodies through so much in the NFL, and I'm sure there are a number of players that, all players, that are looking for the right way to feel their best.
It's all about quality of life. And then, so we have a lot of different guys. Well, first and foremost, I'm a partner not only with Goster Chairless, but Rob Sims is a partner of mine over in Michigan. But there's at least a handful of guys that I've been on the phone with this year and the last half of last year about them starting their own business and them having conversations with us about advice that's needed or just tools, infrastructure, whatever it is. And for us to be able to be there to be a shoulder to lean on, it's almost like taking this thing, you know, almost full circle, probably like more like 180 right now. But being able to, you know, for them to learn from our bumps and bruises that we've already been through in this industry, you know, that's free to them.
It's amazing how fast the game has changed, I feel like, in such a short period of time when it comes to things like recovery, yes. Right? I mean, it wasn't, you know, 5 years ago, was anybody talking about, you know, cannabis as openly as we are now about, you know, it being the right way for a lot of guys to be at their best?
Well, a big thing about cannabis right now you're hearing is that, you know, it's helping people curb their whole opioid addiction, you know, and that's great. But really, we're able to, you know, just now be able to dive into cannabis a little bit more with the funding that's being out there and being available for research. And really, it's just educating people, you know, that, you know, especially on our products that we have. And we talked about, you mentioned Primitive Performance. Yeah, we have cannabis. That's the primitive side of things. But Primitive Performance, we're bringing online our IP, our intellectual property there in a new way to the cannabis industry in the form of nanotechnology. And I think that, you know, the reason that's different is because it's more bioavailable to the person that's using it, meaning that those small particle sizes in the nano is getting through, is getting past the intestinal system and getting into the bloodstream so that medicine is actually going to work and not getting lost in the process. That's what's exciting about what we're doing is we're being innovative in the industry. That's part of our goals here.
It's really interesting because the name Primitive, you know, you're talking about, you know, it's a plant. It's been used for thousands of years, but it feels like this is the new wave of how to get to where you want your body to be. You know, thinking back,
exactly.
Probably even to, like, you're still a young man, but your rookie year, you know, what were the best ways to recover as an NFL player? It was
getting in the tub, right?
Getting a hot tub, cold tub. How much more was there?
Hydrate, right? Get your sleep. You know, use your creams and rubs, whatever it is, to help make your body feel better, to relieve the swelling. And that's exactly what these products are. That's what cannabis and CBD, CBG, CBN, and CBG do. And especially in combination, they are great anti-inflammatories, which is a precursor to pain.
We do want to talk some football here with you, too, because as the game has changed recovery-wise, it's changed on the field, too. Looking at it today, you know, there are 14 receivers in the NFL right now, Calvin, that average $20 million or more on their contracts. It feels like that position that you used to play, which has always been highly valued, it feels like it's only increasing in terms of its value in the eyes of general managers, head coaches. We see a move like the one the Eagles made last year to add A.J. Brown to their roster. Suddenly, they're in the Super Bowl. How have you, I guess, analyzed the advancement of that position that you played and how important it's become?
I mean, that's the key right there. You're talking about analyzing the data, and that's really why I think a big part of that is that the data's being analyzed and you're seeing how much of an impact these receivers and their position is having on these games, how moving the ball down the field is having an impact. And the guys that have, you know, that just those extra abilities, you know, to break tackles, you know, those directly impact the game. So I think that's why we're seeing that market soar. And I think the whole market for the NFL is growing, but definitely those ones that have all the attention in the spotlight.
There was only one Calvin Johnson. There's not going to be another Calvin Johnson. But you look at a team like the Patriots, and there are others out there, but we're obviously focused on the Patriots here, that don't have that guy right now. They don't have that receiver that forces the defense to really change how they're going to deploy against them week to week. Do they need that guy? Do they need to go make a splash move offensively to add that receiver that truly impacts the defense and makes defensive coordinators sweat on a Saturday night?
You have to have somebody like that, or the defense can force you to play one-dimensional ball. You know, if you don't have that guy that can create a threat, then okay, well, just play zone coverage and load the box up on you. You know, so you have to have somebody that's going to make the defense stretch a little bit.
In your mind, I know you're still following the game. Who would be the perfect fit for the Patriots? You know, there's talk about DeAndre Hopkins being available. Bill Belichick has been very open about his love for DeAndre in the recent past. Maybe Brandon Cooks. These are guys that, you know, you could put on the outside that have a little bit of talent that I think the Patriots are lacking right now. Or do they need to swing even bigger than those names?
I'm not going to say swing bigger, but it seems like the Patriots are in a little bit of a, you know, not say a full rebuild because they have some pieces, but I think they need to bring on, you know, somebody that can, you know, that's going into their prime, you know, be able to try to find that guy like they've been able to do in the past, you know, find those gems. I don't know that, you know, a D-Hop or somebody that's, you know, 10-plus years in is the guy that you want to, you know, just ride into the future with.
T. Higgins is a name that we've been talking about for a while.
I like T. Higgins.
If the Bengals would be willing to move on, it sounds like
I want
not
him to.
Right,
I selfishly want him to stay with Cincinnati because I like what they have over there.
Oh, they've got a great mix, right? Yeah. I mean, when you have that kind of mix, you're in it every year. When you have the weapons that they have and the quarterback that they have, so it'll be interesting to see if the Patriots can make that kind of move, if they can find that gem somewhere to really change their offense. If you were, put yourself into the shoes of a young receiver right now. How would you feel about coming to the Patriots? Bill Belichick, legendary coach, Mac Jones at quarterback. Would you be excited to come to New England, Calvin?
Not right now, honestly. Not right now. I mean, yes, you have Mac Jones. He had a great first rookie year. There's a little struggles later last year probably, but I think that was just a full team, you know, effort and those struggles that happened last year. You know, being here in New England, if I was a young receiver, young budding receiver in his prime, New England probably honestly just wouldn't be in the top two, three choices.
Why is that?
Because you probably want to win a Super Bowl, and I don't see that happening right now.
Is that quarterback related, or is it just entire organization?
I think it's too soon. I think it's too soon to lay judgment on Mac. I want to see him for another year because I'm an Alabama fan. I love the movies Alabama, so you know I want to see more out of him. And, you know, with Belichick, you know, I think that, like I said, he can make some magic happen with some picks that don't nobody know about.
So the last number one, quote-unquote number one receiver that the Patriots had, he wasn't a prototypical number one, but was Julian Edelman. Called him Minitron around here. I don't know if you heard that. I don't know how you feel about that nickname, Calvin. But
Julian didn't tell me that.
He didn't tell you that? No, Minitron? You never heard the Minitron thing? That was I don't know if that was Brady or somebody else, but that used to get thrown around a little bit around here in Foxborough. Is that an honor in some ways, maybe? I think, you know.
I'll take it as an honor.
Sincerest form of flattery, right?
100%.
Do you think you're a Hall of Famer. Do you think he has an argument to be in that conversation as – you know, one of the leading receivers all time when it comes to postseason play? His career numbers, regular season-wise, aren't anywhere close to, you know, somebody like you. But what do you think about him maybe getting
It's kind of like basketball, jacket? You know. Nobody really playing to the offseason, but that's not true in football because you got to go. But, you know, it really matters in the offseason. He has been very clutch for Brady and for these New England Patriots all that time. So I think, obviously, you know, when we had that quarterback conversation, you know, you got to have Super Bowls. You know, how many does he have? He has Super Bowls. You know, so I think that just strengthens his argument.
Calvin Johnson, no question, no argument needed. Hall of Famer, thank you so much for being with us. Good luck with Primitive. Good luck with Primitive Boston. We're looking forward to you guys getting set up here. And again, you're one of us now, so we're just going to wait for that Boston accent to kick in. And then all of a sudden.
I think I got to go to a Celtics game first, maybe. I think that's it.
I think somebody could figure that out. Thanks so much for being with us, man.
Thanks.
All right, there you have it. Thank you so much, Calvin Johnson, for joining us on Next Pats. Very honest, Calvin Johnson, when it comes to whether or not he would be excited about joining the New England Patriots. Fact of the matter is, right now, where the Patriots sit, not only in their conference, but in their division, if you're looking to win a Super Bowl, they're probably not at the top of your list. I think that's safe to say. You know, somebody like Patrick Peterson just did an interview with Adam Schefter. I just saw it come across our screen as we're recording this podcast right now, and he's looking for some jewelry. What does that mean? Well, that means the Bengals. It means the Bills. It means the Chiefs. If you have the opportunity to go to Kansas City, of course. So that's the list right now. It's not the New England Patriots. It was for a long, long time. And the Patriots used to be able to coax some guys that were maybe a little bit later in their careers to Foxborough in order to chase that ring. Not going to be the case anymore. It really wasn't even a couple off seasons ago. To get that big free agent class that they got, they had to spend real money. And I think the same will have to be true this year. To me, if you're a Patriots fan, the worst case scenario is if the Patriots look at this offseason and say, well, we added Bill O'Brien. That'll be the force multiplier
that makes everybody, not only on offense, but even our defense, a little bit better. Because if the offense is able to be more effective and execute longer drives, that helps our defense out. They're on the bench a little bit longer. They get to rest a little bit more. They weren't afforded that opportunity all that often in 2022. That, to me, would be a little bit short-sighted, because I agree Bill O'Brien will be a force multiplier. I don't think he will be enough for the Patriots to truly contend in 2023. You have to have talent. You have to add talent the way Calvin Johnson is talking about in that interview that he conducted with us. So thanks again to Calvin Johnson. Good luck to the Primitive Business. Be interesting to see how things go for them when they land on High Street. What better place to land if you're a dispensary? Am I right? All right, let's get to our second interview of the podcast this week. It's going to be with Jonathan Jones. This is something we did last week for Early Edition. We weren't able to put the entire interview on Early Edition, shortened show. We understand the time constraints there. So this is the perfect place for this interview to live here on Next Pats, because we're talking to Jonathan Jones about how free agency is going. His first time, really, his first opportunity to hit the free agent market. He last was able to hit free agency a few years ago, but he ended up signing an extension with the Patriots before he even got there. So this is a new experience for him. It's a new experience for the Patriots dealing with him in this regard. I think they are right now kicking around how they exactly would like to use him if and when they are able to bring him back. Do you leave him at the slot corner position where he is truly at his best? Do you try to use him outside as they did last year? And it went well at times last year. There were other games where things that landed him in the slot position to begin with ended up, I think, holding him back. Obviously, his size against true number one receivers is going to be really difficult to hold up on a consistent basis. Or third option, do they put him at free safety, especially now that Devin McCourty has retired? To me, that makes a lot of sense. It's something that I believe the Patriots are kicking around right now, because he's so smart, because he understands every position in the secondary. That is crucial. That is a prerequisite to play that Devin McCourty role on the back end of the Patriots defense. You have to understand how all the pieces fit together. Jonathan Jones understands that. He already brings an element of leadership to that locker room even before McCourty departed. I think now that McCourty has gone, he remains sort of the quote-unquote old head if they can re-sign him. He remains that longest tenured leader in that secondary group. And again, the versatility that he has, very good tackler. When he gets the opportunity to make plays on the football, he's shown that he's able to do that. He still has great speed. All these reasons to me are reasons why he would fit at free safety if the Patriots wanted to eventually move him there. Maybe it makes it a little bit complicated in terms of, okay, well, what do we pay him? If we were going to pay him to be a slot corner, we'd be in the $6.5-7 million range. You know, the free safety price tag, if you were paying somebody to be your starting free safety, might be a little bit different. But I think there's some middle ground there that they should be able to work with Jonathan Jones and figure out whether he is in the slot, out wide, on the back end, and the deep portion of the field. They should be able to figure out a nice little middle ground there where Jonathan Jones is able to come back and, in my opinion, able to bring a lot of the stuff off the field that Devin McCourty brought as well in terms of culture, leadership. You have to eventually turn over your leadership within that locker room. If you lose Jonathan Jones and Devin McCourty, obviously Devin McCourty was a pillar of your organization for more than a decade. Jonathan Jones, not quite at that level, but now he has the opportunity to spread his wings and to grow as a leader. And so there should be some value in that for a team like the Patriots that values their culture as highly as they do. So without further ado, let's get to our conversation with Jonathan Jones. We're talking about free agency. We're talking about the future of the Patriots defense, the future of their offense and their quarterback and what he thinks of Mac Jones. We're also talking about all of the charitable endeavors that Jonathan pursues in the offseason. He was just back in town working with Big Sister Boston, some great work that he does every single year, every single offseason and in season. In and around not only the Foxborough community, but his community down in Georgia, back at home for him as well. So here's Jonathan Jones. All right, very excited now to have with us Patriots defensive back, still a Patriots defensive back for the next few days at least until the new league year starts here, Jonathan Jones. Jonathan, thanks so much for being with us, man.
I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Just got into town from Georgia. You've been a busy man this offseason, but we did want to ask you, as we are looking ahead to this important time and this important offseason for you, how are you feeling going into this free agent process? The first time for you, you hadn't had a chance, the opportunity to hit free agency as you finished up your previous contract with the Patriots, but you have that shot now.
What's going on in that brain of yours?
It's a little different, you know. It's a little bit different process, but I'm enjoying it. You know, taking everything in stride and just taking it day by day. That's kind of where I am right now. No really expectations for myself, you know, going into free agency, just looking to play football, keep playing football.
Are you hoping to be able to stay in New England? You had such a big role with this team last year, but you've obviously had a huge role with this team for years now. I think you've really become sort of a core piece of that defense, championship-winning defenses here in New England. Would you like to be able to continue your career here in New England?
Yeah, I mean, that's always the goal. You know, I think for a guy to be in a place for his entire career, that's abnormal. So that's kind of, you know, always a goal for players. And I enjoy it. You know, I've been here, you know, most of my adult life. You know, I know it's consistency here for me. And I love New England. You know, the fans, the people, you know, how crazy they are about the sports here. It's definitely, you know, a second home for me.
And do you like that? I mean, I call you core leader, core piece. Do you relish the opportunity to be thought of that way? Do you think of yourself that way? Have you thought of yourself that way during your time here?
I think I've kind of grown into that role. A lot of the older guys, you know, Devin and Slate have, you know, always pushed me into that way of being more vocal. You know, I was kind of more of a guy who, you know, led by example, you know, try to do things the right way. But those guys have kind of, you know, pushed me into being more of a vocal leader for the team and different things like that.
As you approach this time, do you find yourself watching us more? Do you find yourself reading media stuff a little bit more often? Because, again, we're sort of getting right there, right? We're close to they call it the legal tampering period, but we're just coming off the combine. There's a lot of buzz coming out from Indianapolis because the entire league is there. Do you find yourself paying attention to that stuff and trying to keep up with that stuff to see what might be next for you?
I try not to. I try to block out the noise, just focus on my off-season grind and just continue to work out and do those things. But it's hard not to. You know, with social media these days, you know, everything just comes across your page. So it's kind of hard to block it out. But, you know, I just try to stay focused.
There's a lot of news going on in the NFL as it relates to not only free agency, but trades, franchise tags. And the one story that has kind of dominated, it feels like, here, even locally, even though it's become a national story, is Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
Have you followed that story, and does it surprise you that it's gotten to where it's gotten with Lamar right now and him and the Baltimore Ravens?
I mean, it's a little surprising, but, you know, this is a business. You know, there's always, you know, negotiations and stalls and contracts. But, yeah, it has been a little bit, a little different. You know, I really haven't seen this before, you know, from my knowledge of, you know, MVP quarterback, you know, not being able to, you know, get deals worked out, you know. But, you know, that's a part of the business.
When you are an NFL team and you're looking for that quarterback position, though, don't you feel like that, like somebody like that, he's 26 years old, just coming off an MVP season, that there would be something there waiting for him? Does it feel odd to you that the league has maybe kind of handled Lamar the way that they're handling him right now? For him not to have a little bit more interest is surprising to, I think, a lot of people.
Oh, yeah, I definitely think it's surprising. I think it's an oddball. You know, there's no one to really compare him to. He's a unique quarterback. You know, he does everything and some. So I think, you know, he's very unique in everything that he does. So I think that makes it a little bit different. I think he, you know, he has his mindset on the things that he wants. And, you know, you can't tell somebody not, you know, to value themselves in a certain way.
No question. No question. I mean, you're in those shoes right now. And I'm sure there are things that you're looking for, that you want in your next team, wherever that happens to be, too. What do you put near the top of your priority list when you're thinking of those things?
Just consistency. You know, being at this point in my career, I've been a part of a great organization. And just understanding that top-down consistency matters. You know, it helps you as a player focus and prepare, you know, from off-season to off-season. There are going to be changes. But, you know, an organization that can minimize those changes, you know, always helps from a player's perspective.
When we think of the top of the football operation in New England, we think about Bill Belichick. How much have you liked working for him?
And it's been a blessing. You know, he's one of the best. No, let me scratch that. He is the best, best coach, you know, in football. And he's a great guy to work with, you know, to come in under, to learn from a young guy, to grow up under. You know, you learn so much about football, the history of the game, and it's just also life. You know, he always brings in the element, you know, of life perspective.
He's often said he's not an easy guy to work for.
Yeah.
Mac Jones didn't have an easy year at work last year, it looked like.
Yeah.
What did you think of the year that he had? What do you think of him as a quarterback moving forward, Jonathan? How much confidence did you have in him to eventually become the guy that I think a lot of people here in New England are hoping he becomes?
Definitely. I mean, he has all the tools. He has all the mechanics to be, you know, a quarterback in this league and a top quarterback in this league. I think it's just going to come down to, you know, the right situations and getting that consistency and just continue to develop. You know, I look at myself coming in undrafted. It's a process, you know, and I think a lot of people want ready-made results, and that's just not always the case. But just, you know, as long as he continues to strive to get better, it'll always work out.
What do you think he could be? That, you know, Bill O'Brien, him coming aboard, that was sort of the first free agent signing, if you will, for the Patriots this offseason, was to bring him in and add him to the coaching staff. Do you think that could make a real impact in terms of Mac Jones's trajectory? And what do you think might be the sort of end result there between that marriage?
I definitely think it helped. I think, you know, Bill O'Brien can bring in an insight, you know, from the history of offense that he knows. And hopefully, you know, Mac can learn a lot from that, and they can, you know, get some things working together, you know, to get the offense on a good page.
Talking about quarterbacks a little bit earlier with Lamar, quarterbacks around the league. Aaron Rodgers is another guy who around the league, if you're tracking these things, maybe to the Jets. Does that make you want to stay in the AFC East anymore, Jonathan?
Man, you definitely want to compete. You know, he's one of the best. And to have, you know, good quarterbacks, we have great quarterbacks in this league. To have one in your own, you know, division, it always makes it fun.
That could be a pretty interesting division if – you have Aaron Rodgers with the Jets. You have Josh Allen twice a year. Who knows what happens with Miami? Lamar Jackson's a South Florida guy. Yeah. I know they say they like Tua Tagovailoa, but that would be the challenge of all challenges in the AFC East, I would think, if you were here for that, Jonathan. Don't you think?
Yeah, it would be a good season. You know, good quarterback season, good division.
We have some other Patriots that were sort of wondering what's next for them. Obviously, there's you. There's Jacoby Myers, there's Devin McCourty. Devin's somebody that you've been very close with over the years. What do you think might be next for him if you try to put yourself in his shoes? And if he's not back, if he decides to retire and this is it for him, what would the Patriots be missing?
What would they be missing? It's hard to put a value on Devin McCourty, you know, from a football player, from, you know, the things he's done in the community, just who he is, a mentor for guys like myself, other guys who've come in. Guys he's left an impression on who may have not been on the team more than a week. You know, he's that type of guy that can leave an impression on them. But whatever Devin decides, you know, he's still athletic enough to still play if he wants to. And I think that's a blessing in itself to be able to have that option to walk away or to still play. So whatever he decides, he'll be fine.
Do you give him a call and say, hey, if you come back, y'all come back, get the band back together?
Hey, I've talked to him.
Conversations like that?
I've talked to him. So, but no, the ball's in his court is what he wants to do with his future. He's paved the way for me, and I'm just trying to, you know, feel those steps.
Well, Jacoby Myers is another player who I think you in some ways paved the way for as an undrafted rookie. And obviously the Patriots have had many over the years who've ended up contributing, but not many who contributed as much as you have. And I think Jacoby Myers has kind of worked himself into that conversation with what he's done the last few years here. How impressed have you been by his path and his journey? And is that somebody that the Patriots should prioritize bringing back?
He's enjoyed it. You know, I've watched him come in, position change coming out of college and just embrace him playing receiver. And he just, you know, works hard. He works hard every day. He's, you know, quiet, relatively quiet, doesn't really say too much. He's the type of guy you want in your locker room. You know, he doesn't go against the grain. He's just one of those guys you want in your locker room and you want on the field with you, more importantly.
Talk about working hard. You've been doing a lot of work this offseason. And I know the charitable part of your experience here in New England has been really valuable to you. Tell us about Play Like a Girl, because you became the first ever male ambassador for Play Like a Girl just recently here, Jonathan. Yeah. What does it mean to you to be part of that group? And tell us about some of the work that you're able to do with them.
I had the opportunity to partner with them with my foundation last year, doing my cause, my cleats. Their organization is great. They just advocate for youth and women in STEM and in sports. And my daughter, she's 7, and she's starting to get into sports. She loves STEM. So it's just a big part of my life, you know, where I'm headed. So just to be able to
this is good. It's not live TV. Yeah, reset.
You know, just being able to collab with them and get things together has been awesome. You know, my daughter enjoys it. I just enjoy being a part of them and advocating for them. Play Like a Girl is a great organization. They do so much for the youth, and just for my foundation to be able to align with that, it's awesome.
And you're doing so much for the young women of this community too. You're working with Big Sister Boston. here this week. Tell us about what you're doing with them.
So we have an event for 100 girls and their mentors are going to come in. It's National Women's Month, International Women's Day today. Just celebrate them, give them an opportunity to come into Gillette, see some things in the Hall of Fame. And just really for me to learn and hear from their stories and share, you know, some stories I have of some impactful women that's been in my life.
And you've been able to meet one of the influential women down in your area. Go back to Auburn. I know you're doing a lot of work down there as well, but it sounds like you had a blast back, again, hometown for you, alma mater for you at Auburn. Yeah. But you got to meet a pretty impressive athlete in her own right when you were down there last. Tell us about that meeting.
Suni, she is an Olympian, and she is great. You know, I told my daughter when we first met her, I said, she is the best. And, you know, after the meet was over, she won about three events. And my daughter looked at me, and she goes, Daddy, she's the best. So it was an honor, you know, just to meet, you know, those girls down there. They work so hard. They're role models for my daughter. They embraced her. It was good to be back on the plane.
Suni Lee, the gold medalist. I mean, just unbelievable meeting of athleticism there between the two of you. It sounds like you are just as big a fan of her as she might have been of you and your work with the New England Patriots.
Oh, definitely. I mean, to be an Olympian, that's one in a lifetime. It's just so rare, you know what I mean? It's something you grow up wanting to do. I ran track, so I understand the work that it goes in to be an Olympian and wanting to be an Olympian. And to see her, you know, excel at such a high level, and there's so many young girls that follow her, it's awesome to see.
Well, I think a lot of Patriots fans would like to see some of that Olympic caliber speed that you bring to the table, Jonathan, back here in New England. Can we call it that? Can we call it Olympic caliber speed?
I think so.
I think you're still there. But however it works out for you in free agency, thanks so much for being here with us and being as available as you are to us here at NBC Boston, but for all the local media here. It's been great working with you. Hopefully it'll continue.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
All right. Thanks again to Jonathan for being with us. We'll be fascinating to track his free agent journey over the next few days, weeks. Who knows? Maybe it doesn't even last that long, depending on what happens here in New England. Does he figure out a way to stick around in Foxborough before he even gets to free agency? That would be interesting to see. Let's get to a few names in free agency here. Again, the legal tampering period will be open by the time this podcast is hitting your ears. But I just want to focus on the four positions that I know are being talked about at One Patriot Place right now: safety, corner, tackle, receiver. I think that's where we should start when we're talking about the Patriots filling holes on their roster. And let's start at safety. You know, Devin McCourty retiring, wrote about that on NBCSportsBoston.com late last week. Obviously, the news came down. We were able to touch on just how difficult he'll be to replace, not only on the field, but off as well. And we just talked about some of the leadership characteristics that he brought to the table and that maybe Jonathan Jones could help fill in behind in McCourty's absence. But when it comes to on the field, how do the Patriots try to fill in at safety? The big swing here would be Jesse Bates, the free safety from Cincinnati. He is going to get paid. He's going to be in the high teens, in my opinion, in terms of average annual value of millions of dollars. So that's a guy who has played some really high-level football over the course of the last few years for a very good defense that has played in some big games. He's somebody that you could plop right into that McCourty role, not think twice about it. He would be able to pick up all these different aspects of the Patriots defense that I just talked about Jonathan Jones already knowing. So if you don't want to go with that, what might be considered a little bit of a roll of the dice type of play with moving Jonathan Jones to free safety full-time, putting Marcus Jones in that slot corner spot after he played well, or as well as he did as a rookie, you know, Jesse Bates would be the high-priced, big-ticket swing that you don't really have to worry about once he gets to New England. The classic Bill Belichick pick would be to sign Julian Love from the Giants. Versatile player, won't break the bank, played for Joe Judge, should get a pretty good reference there from Judge in terms of how he'll fit into the program. So Julian Love would be a name to keep an eye on for sort of the quote-unquote classic Bill move. Then at corner, the big swing there is Jamel Dean from Tampa Bay. Big, strong, man-to-man corner. Exactly what you're looking for. Again, you're paying through the nose for that guy. That's just the nature of that position. High teens of millions of dollars per season for Jamel Dean. You do need a true number one. It's not Jalen Mills. It's not Jonathan Jones. You need somebody, especially if you're going to be this man-to-man defense that the Patriots have been for a long, long time. They got away from it a little bit last year, but I think it was because of the personnel. They didn't really have the personnel to match up, especially late in the year. They were short on corners, especially with Jalen Mills missing the end of the season injured. So Jamel Dean would be a true, true fit in that man-to-man style that we know Bill Belichick appreciates. The classic Bill Belichick move would be Cameron Sutton out of Pittsburgh. A versatile guy, again, has played on the outside, can play inside as well. Won't necessarily break the bank. You're probably talking about $8 million or so per year, which for a starting corner is, you know, it's not the high end, right? But it is sort of the going rate. So you might say, man, $8 million? That sounds like a lot. No, not anymore. Not in today's NFL. The roll of the dice move here to me, and, you know, I don't think it's really all that much of a roll of the dice. This would make a lot of sense. This is just a guy who has bounced around a little bit, a couple different programs in the last couple of years, would be Rocky Sin. Out of Temple a few years ago, we know Dave Ziegler really liked what he saw from Rocky Sin back when he was a college prospect. He ends up trading for Rocky Sin, bringing him to Vegas last year. Now he's a free agent. Again, in a man-to-man system, could you use a 6-foot, 190-ish pound corner to play on the outside and match up with number ones? And is he going to dominate them? Not necessarily, but he's going to have that physical build to be able to handle those responsibilities. How about tackle? Let's go to the offensive side of the ball. The big swing here, in my opinion, is Mike McGlinchey. To me, he's the most all-around of the second tier of free agent tackles. So you have Orlando Brown. To me, he's going to be too expensive. I don't think the Patriots are going to be making a play for him. Then you have McGlinchey, who I think is the best in terms of both run blocking and pass blocking. Juwan Taylor, very good pass blocker, not so much in the run game. Caleb McGarry, very good in the run game. Still sort of a question mark in terms of the passing game because they had sort of a wonky playing style there in Atlanta with Marcus Mariota last year. So a lot of questions with those other two guys. Questions with McGlinchey as well. You know, he's dealt with injury. He's not quite as powerful as he was earlier in his career is what I've been told. But to me, that's a guy who's probably going to cost you somewhere between $13, $15, $16 million per year. But he's gonna fit right in, be your right tackle right away, and you're going to feel pretty good about that, much better than you did last season. The classic Bill Belichick move would be Andrew Wiley. We talked about him with Jeff Schwartz at the Super Bowl when we were talking about receiver or tackle, tackle or receiver. What do you prioritize? And Jeff Schwartz, who an offensive lineman himself, said you just have to get back to average. Just be average along the offensive line. Try to get really explosive. Try to get the high-end talent at the playmaker positions. Well, Andrew Wiley would fit that bill because Schwartz follows the Chiefs very closely. His brother used to play for the Chiefs, Mitchell Schwartz. Wiley was the right tackle for the Chiefs, was probably their worst offensive lineman, but he was good enough. He was fine. This is another guy who won't break the bank at a very expensive position. Then the roll of the dice move would be Kelvin Beachum, 34 years old, plays right tackle. You know what you're going to get from him, which is very solid production in the pass game, very solid pass protector if he can stay healthy. In the run game, not so much. You're going to have to be helping him out, but you plop him next to Mike Owenu. Maybe you feel good about that duo moving forward towards opposing defenses week after week after week. Not going to cost you hardly anything. So those are some really inexpensive options if you're trying to get away with that at that tackle position before you head into the draft. And then maybe you feel like you got to use your first round pick on a tackle for the future. You just want to make sure you have somebody who can start. It's probably not Connor McDermott. He feels like more of a swing tackle to me, but if you want somebody who can start while the younger player develops, maybe it's one of those two, Wiley or Beachum. Then the last position, receiver. Big swing. The big swing to me is a name we haven't discussed all that often, and I'm not sure why, especially in an offseason where we're talking about Jerry Jeudy, we're talking about T. Higgins. This to me is a name that we should consider and that the Patriots should consider. It's Niners receiver Brandon Ayuk. Now, he just came through with his first 1,000-yard season last season, and I would understand it if Kyler Shanahan doesn't want to get rid of that guy. But he's a guy who has been in Shanahan's doghouse for the early portion of his career, and even now, after being a 1,000-yard receiver, he's still on the depth chart in terms of people that need the football on that offense. He's behind Deebo Samuel. He's behind Christian McCaffrey. He's behind George Kittle. He is their fourth option. He's going into the last year of his rookie deal. He was a first-round pick, so they do have the fifth-year option that they could pick up. But this would, again, sort of like Jeudy, and we've talked about this on the podcast before. Jeudy, Ayuk, Brandon Cooks in 2017, same situation. Was a first-round pick, was going into the last year of his rookie deal. The Saints had not yet picked up his fifth-year option, so the Patriots traded for Cooks. They picked up his fifth-year option, so they had Cooks essentially under their control for 2 years. They ended up obviously flipping him after year one for another first-round pick, but that would be a similar scenario to what you'd be getting here with Ayuk. And the reason why I would prefer Ayuk over Jeudy is just because I think you need more of a boundary presence. I think Jeudy can play out there. To me, he's a Z. You'd like to use him inside. You can move him around. You can do some different things with him. I think the same is true with Ayuk, who's very good with the ball in his hands, by the way. But I think he's just more of a threat. I think defenses would have to pay a little bit more attention to him on the outside than maybe they would with Judy. I just really like Ayuk as an ascending player, a very good athlete, explosive with the football in his hands. And I like that situation that he's coming from in San Francisco. Again, not only is he a little bit lower than some other really big names on the depth chart there, or the pecking order, I should say, when it comes to their offensive playmakers, but the Niners don't have much cap space already this offseason. And they're going to have to start paying some of these younger players that are on rookie contracts. Nick Bosa is about to be made probably the highest paid defensive player in the league. And so with Ayuk going into the last year of his deal before free agency, before that fifth year option, might they want to try to get the most out of that asset and deal him away this offseason? I would be making that call. The classic Bill move to me is DeAndre Hopkins, honestly. A disgruntled star goes to New England at a discount. How many times do we have to see that to not consider it the classic Bill Belichick move? If he's available and it's going to cost a second round pick, maybe even a little bit less than that. I think that's what the Cardinals are really shooting for. I know we've heard second round pick and maybe some conditional picks. I'm not sure it's going to take that much. What I've been told is second round pick. Does it even sit there? Does it move down? Does it end up being a third or a third and a fourth, or, you know, some combination of day two and day three picks for Monty Austin Ford to be interested in dealing away DeAndre Hopkins? They are a rebuilding team. They are a rebuilding roster. The roster there is a mess. They're going to have time to figure that thing out. New coaching staff, new front office, put it all together. There is no reason for them to be holding on to DeAndre Hopkins. They don't honestly have very much leverage in this situation, so it's not going to cost them a whole lot. Classic Belichick move right there. The roll of the dice signing for me in free agency at receiver would be DJ Chark. Always hurt, but brings you some speed and outside the numbers presence. To me, he'd be sort of a Nelson Aguilar type of fit. He would be in that sort of role, you know, your fourth receiver who has some speed that you use down the sideline to threaten a defense on occasion, but he's probably not going to be a go-to guy, the kind of guy that I think you need, especially as a big play threat anytime soon. So he's certainly not that young receiver with some explosive ability that Calvin Johnson was talking about earlier in the podcast. That to me would be an Ayuk, a Higgins, maybe a Judy, even though he's more of an inside guy, and DeAndre Hopkins. I know how Calvin Johnson feels about that. Maybe they should try to go a little bit younger there, but Hopkins would be an upgrade for a team that really needs an upgrade at receiver. So that's it for our big swing, classic Bill, roll of the dice options at those four positions. If you have other suggestions, leave them in the comments on YouTube. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Of course, we always appreciate those. If you could, and you haven't yet, leave us a 5-star rating. We would love it. Leave us a review. We'll try to knock out a bunch of those. I know we have some that we have to catch up on a future podcast. Maybe we'll do a mailbag in the near future coming off the initial wave of free agency. That might be a good idea. So we kind of wrap our heads around, all the moves that are being made across the NFL. All right. Thanks so much for listening, guys. Let's get to work on free agency here. Hopefully everybody has a great week. Thanks so much for listening. We'll talk to you very soon.